Americans, and you're alive. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. My opening song is Edward Horstman's well-loved The Bird of the Wilderness.
My heart, the bird of the wilderness, has found its sky in your eyes.
Songwriter wants to say, I love you, he usually beats around the bush a bit. Comes up with a title like, well, Three Little Words, for instance, which means the same thing. Not so Cole Porter. He came right out and titled his latest hit in the show Mexican Hayride, I Love You, with no ifs nor ands about it. Let's listen to our Victor Young swell arrangement of it.
Thank you.
This past week, Lady Arthur Hill passed away at the age of 95. She wrote a lovely song she'll always be remembered for. It would be difficult to say how many times I've sung it, but it's been a part of my repertoire since I first started singing. As a tribute to Lady Hill, I'm going to sing it now. In the Gloaming. Today, Ken Darby and the chorus are going to salute a grand bunch of fellows to whom we all owe a big debt of gratitude. Their song is Bombs, Bombs, Bombs for the Bombardiers. And with it, Ken has combined a hymn for Americans.
We're heading for the spot to turn to blues. weather is at his sight. The bomber is fueled and set to go. The weather is clear tonight. A typical bomber's moon. The motors are all in tune. The pilot is at the throttle. We gotta get going soon.
Spotlight of our passing parade moves to light up the figure of a little, plump, bald-headed man, a Frenchman with bright, shining eyes. His name we give as Monsieur Jean Labrousse of the once-celebrated jeweler's firm of Labrousse et Fils in Paris, France. And it's a very simple story about a very simple man. 2 years ago, Jean Labrousse was forced to remain in Paris when the Nazis arrived. And when the German occupation officers arrived at Labrousse's little shop, they immediately gave orders that he was to remain open for business upon pain of death. This gave these Nazi military gentlemen an opportunity to return later and purchase virtually his entire remaining treasures, which they paid for in the utterly worthless occupation currency, which you'll remember was printed by the German army on portable presses just for this purpose. As officer after officer looted Labrousse's exquisite little works of the jeweler's art, they insisted that he engrave upon each one the proud words, "A gift from a son of Germany, Paris, 1941. And of course, they sent these things home to their relatives in the Reich. The little French jeweler did what he had to do, and after quietly going into bankruptcy, he patiently mended German watches for a living. And he said nothing, and by December of 1942, he was at last listed as a fine example of a collaborating Frenchman. That same month, in one of the last efforts ever made by the Nazis to conciliate the French people, he was even invited to a magnificent banquet held by the Nazi commandant of his district in Paris. The great table was covered with rare candlesticks, and solid silver gleamed in the soft light, because this was a tremendously important affair. The German commandant and his entire staff were present, every prominent French Vichyite and Quisling, all of whom were ordered to come and applaud enthusiastically every speech. The banquet was a propaganda affair being held to honor the so-called Union of France and Germany. Between each course, speeches were made. How happy the intelligent people of France should now be to be protected from England, and how eagerly the little French children should be to take to learning to speak German in the public schools, and how sorry everyone must be for the stupid, pig-headed Frenchman who couldn't seem to see what a wonderful thing it was that France had become the obedient little girlfriend of the German Reich.
and toasts were drunk to Adolf Hitler for his wonderful intuition, then to the Fatherland, and then to the German commandant, and finally even one to France. Then came the climax of the whole banquet, the presentation of a Medal of Honor from the people of Paris to the Nazi commandant for his wonderful work in winning the loyalty of France to Nazi Germany. One of the quisling Frenchmen made the presentation, and everyone at the table stood up and applauded, and then the sealed jewel box was handed over to the German commandant. On the lid of the box were these words: "This Medal of Honor represents the strength of the bond of friendship that exists between the people of France and the people of Germany." And the German commandant, having had plenty of champagne, was sincerely moved, and tears appeared in his blue Teutonic eyes. The medal was in two parts. One part was a beautiful gold swastika, which of course represented Nazi Germany, and the other part was a tiny, humble French flag. The commandant picked up the gold swastika proudly, and the tiny French flag came with it, because the two parts of the medal were connected together, and the bond that united France and Germany in this medal was a tiny piece of human hair, the most fragile piece of human hair that the French people had been able to find. So thin that the trembling of the irate commandant's fingers broke it apart. One conquered Frenchman at that table smiled quietly to himself. The little man to whom had been entrusted the commission of designing and making that tribute. His name, Jean Labrousse.
Thank you, John Nesbitt.
Just go on.
song that has the vitality to live as long as Vic's next number must have something. Many think of it as an old American war song, but actually, it's an Irish air that dates back to at least 1770. The Girl I Left Behind Me, it's called. And here's Vic Young's special treatment of it. Chorus and I will close with a song Victor Herbert wrote before the days of rationing. I want what I want when I want it. Though fools may prate of the married state and the evils of bachelor life, I'm happier far than the married men are who are cursed with a shrew of a wife. I drink my fill if I have the will with friends who are tried and old. But oft when the company's good, I stay. I may not come home till the break of day. But if dinner is waiting and I am away, there's no one to nag me or scold. All I want, what I want, when I want it. That's all that makes life worth the foil. For the wine that tonight fills my soul with delight, on the morrow may seem to me vile.
There's no worthy pleasure myself I deny. There's no one to ask me to pay for the foil.
Hungry and drink when I'm dry. For I want what I want when I want it. I want what I want when I want it. The fireside joys with the fuss and noise of the children who fight and squall may do for the man on the homestaying plan, but it wouldn't suit me, not at all. Of course your life, if you have no wife, is lonesome at times and slow. But whether you marry or not, they say, you're bound to regret it either way. Let those who are single be sorry who may. I'd be sorry you're married, I know.
For he wants what he wants when he wants it. That's all that makes life worth the while. He can find, if he will, lots of good fellows still who can give him a welcoming smile.
There's no worldly pleasure
deny. There's no one to ask me the wherefore or the why.
He said he's hungry and drinks when he's dry.
All I want, what I want, when I want it.
Right.
Well, dear friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye. God bless.
This is Gene Whitman speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.